Good evening, my name's Audie, I'm an alcoholic. You know, it's interesting, you 18 years and you said what keeps coming back, and is it Glenn? You know, I just loved what you said is, I've got a family. You know, what a gift. And in Virginia?
Victoria.
Or Victoria, when you had the tragedy or the heartbreak and the shame and the devastation of losing someone, you know, and we, invariably I get into these meetings and I get emotional in these meetings because the reality is we the depth of alcohol and drugs, what takes me, where it took me and takes what I see, I connect in these rooms, you know. My first sponsor, I'll never forget, he says, you know, I said, you know, I feel terrible when I cry. I don't want to feel bad, look bad, whatever the case is. He says, I hope 10 years down the road, whatever, someone's looking at you and say, I hope it can be just like that, to open up and share, because I think that's when the healing really starts to happen. And I never got that outside these rooms. You know, I never got that outside these rooms. Anyway, I guess how it was and the crash and burn and then what it is like now. I remember I was one time years ago, I was asked, I've been 18 years, about 10 years ago, to do a speaker meeting. I'll never forget it. I was really good about what happened and then where we're at, but I didn't want to talk about the crash. And he said, someone told me, he said, Donnie, that's what you want to be. You have to go through that too. So, but it's good to be here. It really is. I started drinking, first, Derek, and that's what someone said too, is how did you get here? And I remember my first sponsor in the meeting says, continue to be of service and continue to risk and share and trust, but just, you know, put yourself out there. Continue to do what you need to do. You know, never say no. You know, never say no when it comes down to it in these meetings. And that's what I've kind of always tried to do in Alcoholics Anonymous. So when Derek asked, the first thing is, oh, geez, really? And I said, okay, yeah, okay, I'll share. Because I just moved here at 10 months ago from Fresno, and I loved what you said. I feel like a newcomer now. You know, I'm new to the area. I'm guarded. I'm in fear. I have to keep on saying, okay, go back to faith. Go back to do these things. Go back to meetings. Be sure you're in meetings to walk through these things. Get a sponsor over here and do these type of things, and they'll be okay. And have that faith, you know, along those lines. And I just loved, you know, it's, you know, first year, 2 years, I was so raw, you know, again, those experiences are just priceless. They're gifts, and I love those times. But back to when I started, you know, 13, 14, I remember that. And I put some notes, my first friend, I remember the first time I got drunk at my parents' house. And back then, I don't know where the parents were. They just, you know, we just kept on letting us play, and they were out, and we were drinking. I think it was Spinata, you know, that red wine, remember, you know, so I remember drinking that, and Mike Zimmerman drinking that, and I think he wanted to be Superman, so he ripped his shirt, and all the buttons flew all over the place, and we were just laughing, and then there we go, and, you know, we kept on, you know, we just kept on drinking. John, you mentioned you're from Yakima, and I said, geez, Yakima, I remember when I was over in Yakima, when I was like in ninth grade. It, you know, in a hotel room, there's a bowling and just smoking pot and having bongs and drinking and stuff like that. You know, it's just is, just that was part of life. And I seventh grade, I'll never forget, in a band, and the parents were around too. There's beer, and I remember on stage playing the guitar with the roadie, pouring me drinks, pouring me beer while I was sitting there playing. You know, seventh, eighth grade, and it's just like. It was just such a normal part of life, and my wife doesn't drink, and I think that's weird. It's personally, I mean, that to me, but to me, that's normal. That was just who I was. To me, not drinking was not normal. I mean, I remember going to football games, and I thought everybody was drinking except the four squares in the corner, and then I realized when I got sober is the four assholes that were drunk down there, and I was one of them, and everybody wasn't drinking. But back, you know, it just, I was raised in, my father had a construction company, so I worked in construction as a kid. I remember when I was 5, 6, 7 years old, sitting on a truck and opened up some bead sacks for striping roads and stuff like that. And then when I was 13, 14, I was working with construction companies and, in the middle of the freeways. People going 70, 80 miles an hour down, I was, 14, 15, 16, and working road construction, and then you worked, and then you played like men, too. So when I was 15, 16, I'd get off, and back in those days, you can get into the bars, maybe not the nightclub, stuff like that, but we could get in the bars, and I was drinking, and there is no problem with it. That was just the way the life was. And then my parents got divorced, and my dad and I, we just enabled each other. I was, as long as I was going to school, a captain of the football team, and he was doing fine, we just enabled each other all the way up. Booze was not a problem. It was the liquor, it was gallons of any type of liquor, it just was there. It was no problem. So it was just, started getting in trouble, cars. I remember backing it off one time an embankment, and it's kind of easy then to have a problem there, and then one time backing it up and hitting a tree. Of course, these weren't my cars. They were my dad's cars, so there's no consequences. And one time he had a brand new Continental. I'll never forget it. It must have been about 16, 17, driving it on a freeway, hitting a curb. I don't know if I blacked out or not. Blew both the tires out, went a little further, went down an off-ramp. In the middle of the night, it was a pretty seedy areas of Seattle. Parking the car, knocking on the door, must have been about 2 or 3 in the morning. The house, I'm surprised I didn't get shot. And then calling my dad, come pick me up, sitting out going, oh my God, how about I explain this? Then hitting on the girl that was there. And you look at it, the embarrassment and the humiliation and just the, a lost kid, so. And I'll never forget, my dad picked me up, didn't say a word, and I'm sitting there in tears, and the next day, he said, well, son, if you learned a lesson, then it's all worth it, great, I can keep on running, no problems with this one, of course, being myself, I'm sure for 3 or 4 days, but it was just dysfunctional, and it just kept on going that way, and then, police, I remember police pulling me over, and back in those days, it's different, because they'd pull you over, and you could actually talk yourself out of a ticket or whatever, and say, you be sure to pull the beer, pour the beer out the next stop, and then get straight home. Absolutely. So, no problem. Just kept on going and kept on going, and that's what it was like. And thank God, I didn't kill anybody driving, because I drove drunk all the time. Just the way it was. And anyway, I remember Mom, buying kegs. Johnny said, I remember my mother basically having kegs and dropping it off with us in the boat and having a good old party, just kept on going. And then college came around, and it would just kept on. Then it's kind of, I didn't know what I wanted to do, and so my best friend said, hey, get in the hotel industry. So I went to school for hotels and restaurants, and which is neat, because then we took care of the Friday parties, in the school, and I was president of the student body, so it was really neat. I had an office in the college, and I just, and I had wine, and I had beer in my office, and it was just a student, and so I had the beer and the wine there, so the students would come up, and we'd have some drinks, and then they would go over to the library, and then I had those cubicles that I could rent every month, so I had some wine in there in my little refrigerator, and of course, I lived on campus. So I go over to my campus room and, have a drink there or smoke a joint or whatever the case is. So I pretty much had it covered at the campus. Then I ran out of money, then went home and got some more booze there. So it just kept on happening, drinking and partying. And then I graduated. Then I graduated. Of course, the neat thing, if you're in the hotel and restaurant and if you're an alcoholic, then you could drink for free. It wasn't my money, but just signed, so everything kept on going. And it got worse. It started getting to the point where I started getting more in trouble. My first DUI, I remember my first DUI, I called the police. I was drinking from 3 in the morning till 2 at night, and I was driving home, and that damn truck hit me, you know. Pulled him over, picked up the phone, called the police, and they took me to jail. And it's just, you know, I got bailed out, getting my laborer, thank God, you know, there's Dad again. It's just the way it was. He helped me out, so I could breathe again. And then within a week, I'll never forget partying with another friend of mine, pulled the car into a 7-Eleven and kind of a little, slope or whatever. I must have not put it in gear or whatever, park. It backed out, it went into the street, got into another wreck within a week. I said, oh, Christ. So kept on going, kept on drinking, kept on, you know, didn't have a problem. You know, I didn't want to go to jail again. That's one damn thing, but I never had anything that I could have to stop if they didn't hit what I needed to hit. And, you know, the loss of relationships, the loss of friends. I got in a little trouble at work. I remember one GM said you can't drink at the property anymore, but that didn't stop. I mean, we did some insane bills. I ran one bill, this one guy's $1,200 one night. And how we didn't get fired the next day, I'll never forget the controller looking at me and saying, well, you know, this is a French restaurant at a hotel, just nuts, is insane. And the employees were drinking with us, and, you know, and he ordered these Dom Perignon and I don't know, Cristal, I mean, just Louis the 13th, and we're just stoned out of our mind. And, I mean, irresponsible, just insane. But back then, that's kind of where it was. And, anyway, so then I didn't get fired, I got promoted. So, you know, it's so good at this property, let's put you in a regional position, kind of go around the country. And wow, I mean, I remember one time on top of a national meeting, on top of a hotel with the megaphone yelling down at people, and I got the thinging award, and I remember that. I had a plaque, the thinging. But it was, if I look at people doing that right now, how humiliating that would be. You know, I was just as an ass. I was drunk, and that's what the way I lived my life. And I remember one time trying, my boss's boss needed a ride. The next day, I couldn't even find the car. You know, so I had to arrange someone else to get him around. So it's just, anyway, so finally left the company and landed at a hotel. And that was kind of more of a disaster. And that's where kind of everything started getting more problematic. You know, we'd have manager on the weekends. And I remember, you know, you'd have 400, 500 people that I'd be responsible. I'd be so drunk, I couldn't deal with them. I'd be in the room and camped out in the room and just wasn't checked in. If anything could have happened, and I would have been responsible, it would have happened. And then one time going to the bar, and with employees and drinking, throwing up at the bar, right in the middle of it, you know, and just, you know, again, just behaviors that, I was a drunk, you know, I was a drunk with the free tab, I thought, you know, and then the night when I crashed and burned, I'll never forget, there's a big problem that I was having, and we had a leased restaurant, and they weren't running it the way I liked, and so I got it to change. So we went out and with the owners, and we just got tanked. And they went home, and I kept on drinking and drinking and drinking. I went back to the bar, and I picked up a girl. I'm married, too. And I took this girl back to the hotel room. Sorry, and I had to have an employee open the door for me. I was so drunk. And I was so drunk, nothing could happen. But I mean, that's just the bottom line. I mean, and thank God, because I was kind of a drunk that I did crazy, stupid, insane stuff, but I didn't black out all the time, so I'd remember about the humiliating thing. So anyway, she just disgusted me. She took off, whatever, and then I left. My ride-on person gave me a ride home, and I'll never forget. I couldn't get into my keys. I couldn't get in the house. My wife had to come, and then to just the devastation on her face and the just disgust looking at me, just disgust. And I'll never forget going into bed that night and waking up, you know, in the middle of the night where you say, "Oh my God, don't have the day come. I don't want the day to be there. Please don't come." Knowing that you kind of knew what you did, kind of know, like, oh, geez, what, you know, I'm gonna lose my job, I'm gonna lose my family, my wife, everything. I'll never forget waking up that morning. This guy that was coming right over, he gave me a ride to work. He said, "What in the world? Are you mad at your wife? You're in a fight?" Anyway, so there I am. I'm ready to lose everything, and I'm going, "God, what am I gonna do?" I say, "What do we do as alcoholics? We don't take responsibility for it." Hell no! I can't have an excuse. Oh, I know why I did this. I'm an alcoholic. That's my answer. I'm an alcoholic. That's why I did this stuff. I didn't want to. I didn't get in these rooms because I said, "Oh God, I'm an alcoholic. I'm going to these rooms." I ran out of excuses. So I'll never forget. That's how I got into this program, and I'll never forget looking at. That's how I justified it to my wife. I'll never forget the owners looking at me at the hotel and saying, "You know, if you ever do this again, just leave. Pack your bags and leave. You know, don't put us in the position to fire you. Just leave." And that probably hurt more than anything. Anyway, thank God at that time, I didn't lose my wife, but my kids. Didn't lose my job. Lost my respect, and so I got to these meetings. And then it was kind of interesting. Then the story changed. It didn't 3 months, you know how the problem happened, you get further away from the problem, then it ain't that bad. So 3 months goes by, and I'm talking to a buddy of mine, and he says, "How you doing, Ani?" I said, "Well, you know, it's not having a drink. It's kind of a deal." And he says, "Deal? It's a hell of a, I dated a girl that's off. You can't drink the rest of your life." And I go, "Crap. How the hell did I get myself in this mess? This is not where I want to be." You know, that was just, you know, then my mind started to go, "Okay, how am I going to figure this one out? This is, you know, eh." Anyway, so I kept on walking. I didn't go back out, but I'll never forget that time, that fear, you know. And I guess how I got here is through mistakes and through, by the grace of God, I got here, really what it comes down to, it really was. But I'll never forget my first sponsor told me, he says, don't do any more amends till you go through me first. And before that is just going through the steps, you know, because of the fear and going with someone, because it was such it's a different way of life. We've all been there with any type of sobriety. You take away the booze, and how the hell do you deal with life? You know, I'm just trying to think of some of those type of feelings I had, and again, by the grace of God in that 3 months, but working with the program, doing the steps in order. You know, because I remember going to my wife and sharing to her some of the indiscrepancies that are, you know, screwing around, infidelity, stuff like that I did. I remember talking to her about that, trying to basically get it off my shoulder. All I did is just put the guilt from me and put to her. I'll never forget that counselor looking at me saying, "You selfish son of a bitch. She's so sick she could leave. She should leave you. She's so sick she won't leave you." You know, and just in knowing that truth, you know, and how unhealthy not only I, but both of us were. And the promotion versus, you know, what is that? What did I say? Promotion versus attraction versus promotion. Oh man, I promoted all the time to my wife. You know, geez, look, you need to get now and on. You need to do this. God, after the first year, she said, "Listen, you drank for 5 years in her first marriage. I'm not going to go to a friggin' meeting for 5 years. You just keep on doing what you have to do." And then I never forget after like the third or fourth year, I kept on pushing. Well, after a little bit after that first year of sobriety, I'll never forget one time I was so angry that she says, "You know this AA stuff, you're getting brainwashed." You know, and I was talking to a friend of mine, and I said, "I'm so anxious. Can you believe that she says it? What?" He looked at me and says, I think she gave you a compliment. I said, how the hell do you think she gave you a compliment? I said, Adi, trust me, our brains need a good scrubbing. They really do. You know, that's what she said. We needed a good scrubbing. And then, so I suppose so. And then after about the third or fourth year, you know, pushing it down or shoving it down her throat, she finally stopped when she looked at me and says, stop it. If you don't, I'm going to take the kids and I'm going to hurt you. You stop it. You know, and I had to learn a lot of those lessons going through, you know, which we all do. You know, I remember going to my sponsor on a couple occasions with all my suitcase cases and the clothes in the back of the trunk and him looking at me and going, just lovingly just going, okay, what's your plan? You know, and then I go to the hotel and not my hotel now, I'd pay the wage and I sit there till midnight and then finally go back home with the tail between my legs and, you know, and started to learn to accept things and learn to love my wife for who she was, not what I wanted to be. And I learned that in these rooms. I learned about unconditional love. You know, my first sponsor said to me, he said, Adi, what happens if she is right when we were arguing? I said, what do you mean it was right? You know, I told you all this story. He said, what happens if she's right? And I said, she's not right. I just told her. He says, what happens if she's right? And she says, you know, and it took me a long, long time to understand that we came from different backgrounds, languages and different cultures. And it's just like 1 + 1 = 2, and she's doing 1 + 1 = 2. I couldn't understand it. She couldn't understand me. And then how we had to learn. And just I am so grateful we're together. That they say in these rooms, you know, whatever you're doing for the first year, don't do a damn different thing. Thank God. You know, I would have made the hugest mistake of my life if I would have been, you know, if I would have somehow, by the grace of God, and I just kept on walking. It would have been just, anyway, so my life started changing. You know, I had, my job started going great. My marriage after years, you know, this is getting into the fifth, sixth, seventh year, it started going fabulous. Spiritually, I was involved in the church as a Cub Scout leader, as a Eucharistic minister. Life was going good financially. I got some investments. Everything was absolutely skyrocketing. Just skyrocketing. I was ready 10 years ago to retire 5 years. Everything, and I'll never forget looking at my sponsor saying, God, I don't want anything to change. Life is perfect. And again, he looks at me, nope, you can't do that. I said, what do you mean? Everything's great. I don't want anything to change. Listen, he said, Adi, the only reality is when basically don't wish for that, because if you wish for that, you're going to be dead. The only unchanged person 6 feet under, and that's the reality of life. You know, so that was kind of interesting, kept on going, and I was talking to a very close friend of mine, this priest, and one time when I had everything, I prayed to God, say, God, if it's not meant to be, take it all away. And this guy's a bishop now, and he looked at me and says, that's the stupidest damn prayer I've ever heard. Because, you know the story later, it just got taken away. And I said, what the hell? He knows what I mean. I didn't mean that, really. I just said it. I know that they found out that, you know, change is good. It can go great, it can go bad. In life, if it's bad, it's going to go good again. Where's that faith? And I found also, too, life kept on going, by the way. I lost that job after 15 years over there. The stock market crashed. You know, the house went all to hell in the handbasket. I lost my job. I ended up basically in Fresno, as there's not a lot of hotels in Fresno, so I had to basically leave every Sunday and out of town for 3 hours of the coast, and then I'd come back every Friday. So I had to leave my family, my kids. I've never done that, my wife. And the devastation that I was in an apartment that I haven't been in. I mean, I just haven't lived this for 20 years in a little apartment, and it's pretty little, real small little apartment. And earning half of the money, everything that I, my whole life had built up to be, was disintegrating. You know, I guess it's a beautiful house. If it's built on the sand, it just goes away, you know. And So everything started going away. And I remember that's the only year, and I am so grateful by the grace of God, I only went to two meetings. Because I go to meetings, like when I was in Fresno the first year, six meetings a week, you know, for the first 3 years. And then finally my kids and my wife said, Dad, come on, really? You know, after the fourth or fifth year, I was still going to three meetings a week. When I was in Fresno, two meetings a week at the end, but that 1 year I only went to two meetings a whole year. And I literally almost went insane. I remember my dad said, you need to go to a shrink. You need to get a doctor. You need to get some meds. And I remember driving down the freeway saying, why don't I just turn, run into the bus, run into the semi, and freaking end it all. You know, I was literally insane, even though I wasn't drinking. Anyway, so by the grace of God, I didn't drink. By the grace of God, I didn't kill myself. And by the grace of God, for whatever reason, I started going back to meetings, getting healthier, going back to church, doing things I needed to take care of myself. And that was a really kind of an interesting experience. But life kept on going. And just kind of thinking some of these issues that looking at some of the so that happened, went back and forth, they sold the hotel, stuff like that. Then I got into another industry altogether, I take care of seniors. Had any of that stuff ever happened, I would have never been doing it. I get to basically, every day, I love playing guitar. If I ever did this at a hotel, they'd fire me. I get to go out, play guitar, go to someone and say, you know, my day is basically just loving you the best I can do. Now, if I did that in front of a lobby in a hotel and played a little Elvis with my guitar, they'd probably throw me out. But I got an incredible, career that I'm doing right now, which is a blessing. But that journey, and I'll never forget that first sponsor telling me all the time, too. He says, Audie, God puts us on a journey that we, in a path we have absolutely have no idea what it is, you know. And the one thing that really struck on me with all this stuff is faith is really easy when everything is easy. You know, when I had everything there, man, I could walk on freaking water. And now, I'll tell you, it's shaky. You know, I just moved to a new city and kind of halfway a little emotional here and feeling a little odd. And you know, I go back to that fear and faith and back and forth. Faith is easy when everything's easy. But I have learned through this process, and I guess in the 18 years is that onion peel keeps on getting peeled, you know. I thought everything was great back then, and that journey hadn't ended, you know. I lost everything from a worldly point of view, I guess, not everything, but I mean from a financial worldly point of view, and I'm the best that I've ever been right now. This journey to me is just like, I have no idea where it's going to be tomorrow, next week, next month, or whatever, but I wake up in the mirror and say, okay, man, let's keep on going. You know, how do you make it 18 years is every day just saying, okay, look in the mirror, get on my knees in the morning, pray to God, do some readings, go to meetings, work with my sponsor, doing the stuff that I need to do. And the last thing, I guess, because I'm sure there's other things to wrap the meetings but you know, I last week, see, that's why I hate those things. Okay. I'm sorry. You know, I would say, by the grace of God, there go I. So last week, I go to Fresno. And my son's a heroin addict. Oh, thank you. You rescued me, you know that, so that's okay. Well, my son's a heroin addict, and so last week when I was over and getting my chip, my 18th year, you know, I was out searching for him. You know, he's, had some law problems. He had him set up for a treatment program. He skipped it out. Now I'm sure they have a warrant for him and stuff like that. So I'm trying to find him in the streets of Fresno. And, you know, by the grace of God, there go I. You know, why is not him? You know, why not me? Why, I could be the same way. I really could. You know, by the grace of God, whatever hit, whatever, so I stopped drinking and I learned a lot, went through a lot. And, but through this journey, and even through what I'm doing right now, I get a chance to talk to my crazy wife that doesn't drink, that I never could understand. Matter of fact, she's had 5 drinks in the last 18 years, and I'm sure something like that. She said, you know, you really got to, you're drinking 5 times more of me, so I really got to watch you. But, you know, I really, God has a plan for me that I have no idea, like every one of us, you know, and even my son. You know, it may be not in this world, maybe in this world. Who knows where tomorrow's going to bring us? You know, he may get it, he may not get it. You know, I feel sorry for him if he doesn't get it because I know where it's going to go. You know, he's already been into jail. He's been in institutions. He's already OD'd, and I know where it's going to be. He's either going to be in recovery, he's going to be in jail, or he's going to be dead. You know, that's the reality, and that's where it takes us. That's Glenn, me to say that I get to have a family. You know, I get the precious thing of my wife and the precious thing of my daughter, and I get to be clean. I get to be a good employer, employee, husband, person in life. If I make a mistake, which we all do, and I do, I get to basically say, okay, you know, I get to make amends for it. I get to screw up my amends, so I got to talk to my sponsor to be sure that I'm not basically justifying my crap. You know, but, you know, it's, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous has been the best thing in the world for my life, you know, and, you know, I'm just a blessed person this way. And I wouldn't trade anything in the last, I wouldn't trade right now where I'm at to where I was 10 years ago when I thought that I was on top of the world, because having that God in my life, even though I had it, and he was in my life, and I was doing the right things or whatever, but it's pretty tough to trust and have faith in everything when everything is easy. You know, now I get a chance to really walk that and not really know where tomorrow's going to be, not being in charge of this stuff. And for that, I am blessed, because I really truly have that faith to know that everything's going to be okay no matter what. And even with my son, too. It's emotional. It's tough. But, you know, it's at least he knows where to go. Because when I got in these rooms, I had no freaking idea. You know, I was scared to death walking in these doors. And I was talking about some of the crap that we did. And one other thing for the newcomers, stuff like that, is I know, too, that I can be forgiven on everything, too. Because my first 6 months in this program, I were forgiving. You know, I looked at all the books, okay, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. Where can I get forgiven? And I'll never forget one time, because I was involved in a couple abortions. And I, but guy, woman, whatever, hey, I was there. You know, I was part of that process. And I brought it to the next process. Well, if I'm part of that process, someone dying, killing. You know, and if I can't be forgiven for that, then what's worth it? And I'll tell you, as an alcoholic, when you can't kill those thoughts and you really get in those deep, deep things, that's the Pride in Reverse. I think it's the 3rd, 4th book in the steps if you read that. It's easy does it. You need to talk to yourself. You've got everything in pride. Everything's so far in reverse, you know. But I did find that we can be forgiven. And I did learn that through these programs. You know, God is an all loving God. He's an almighty God. He can forgive, you know, David, you know, and I researched and looked at all this stuff from David, you know. He sent his girlfriend, his husband out and to get slaughtered, and God put him in charge of everything when it came down to it. God is all loving, forgiving God. He will forgive me. It's not, he loves everybody, but not I. You know, it just doesn't work that way. So I know that I can be forgiven for what I've done. I know that, you know, I probably have to make some, you know, I believe in penance. I believe in, what's that thing in between?
Purgatory.
There you go, purgatory, I believe that. But I know I can be forgiven. And that's a gift, because that's a weight off my shoulders, you know. And that's a really gift. You know, I just, and I've learned everything through these rooms, you know, and, anyway, my name's Audie, I'm an alcoholic, that's who I am.
Thank you. Let's do Audie.